Chapter 30. Terry Foster awoke, or more accurately came to, in the dark with a splitting headache. The gag in her mouth would not allow her to speak. She was blindfolded. Her hands were tied behind her back, and her ankles were bound together with zip ties. She rolled over onto her back. Her hands felt of the floor. Plywood. Terry listened carefully. The acoustics suggested that she was in the back of a van or SUV. The exhaust was on the passenger side, all the way in the back. The engine was misfiring intermittently, possibly from bad spark plugs. The random pop, pop suggested that unburned fuel and air were being pushed into the exhaust system where they were ignited by superheated exhaust gas. Stretching out her legs carefully, Terry was unable to feel a back seat. This could be a van, she thought. There was also a faint odor of death or decomposition, though she could not determine its origin. Rolling over carefully onto her side, Terry felt along the inside rear of the passenger side. Yes, there it is, she thought, an A-frame structure made of angle iron on which the spare tire was mounted. She carefully felt along the front leg of the structure and found it. Yes, she thought once again. Her father, a welder, had taught her that sometimes angle iron could have small sharp points or burrs. Positioning herself carefully and gritting her teeth against the pain, Terry moved her left hand quickly across the burr. The sharp pain was followed immediately by a warm, sticky feeling on the edge of her left hand. Blood. Exactly what she wanted. Where her blood was, left discreetly on the inside of this angle iron frame, so was her DNA. Whatever happens to me, here's a small forensic breadcrumb, she thought. Mike, honey, if you don't find me in time, don't blame yourself. Always remember that the time we spent together was the best time of my life. Terry was trying not to cry. God, I'm so afraid. Please save me. Help Mike to find me before it's too late. Please, God. The van, if that's what it was accelerating now. Terry was trying to remember exactly what happened. She walked out the front door of Hair Force Designs after work. Nancy offered her a ride home, saying that it was too cold to walk from the bus stop on Dale Mabry to her and Mike's duplex. Nancy had gone back into her office for something she forgot, and Terry started for the car. She never made it. She was grabbed from behind by a powerful arm, and a rag had been clamped over her nose and mouth. She remembered fighting back briefly and a sweet, overpowering smell that also burned. The next thing she knew, she was here, wherever that was. The vehicle was now at a steady speed. Perhaps on the interstate, she thought.
Oh, this is gonna be sweet,
a male voice exclaimed from what Terry thought must be the driver's seat. That voice. She'd heard it earlier that day in the shop. That creepy guy. And that smell, onions. It was there again, mingling with the smell of death which permeated the air in the vehicle. Terry was suddenly seized with the nauseating punch of fear in her stomach. She recognized this guy's voice. She could identify him. He did not care, though. He was going to kill her, she realized. A phone, obviously on speaker, gave a brief 10-tone burst. It was answered on the first ring. A voice was cold and unemotional when it spoke.
You were told not to call this number, except in cases of emergency. This call will be disconnected. Await further instructions.
The call went dead. Within seconds, Terry heard the trill of an incoming call.
Hey, boss, the driver said. Guess what?
On the other end of the call, the voice was still cold and unemotional. A hint of irritation had slipped in.
I have neither the time nor disposition for guessing games, Dave. Why have you called?
I've come up with a way to help you even better than before, the driver sounded excited.
What have you done, Dave?
The voice sounded as though it were in authority, educated, careful diction.
I have just snatched and have in my possession right now the girlfriend of that war hero detective, Mike Ash.
The voice in the front seat was sounding more and more excited. War hero detective was exactly the phrase the creepy guy who smelled of onions had used earlier.
What is your plan, Dave?
the voice inquired without emotion.
Well, see, I figured that since I don't work for the medical examiner anymore, and by the way, all he did was catch me with some jewelry from that rich old bag's house, and what does she need with it anyway? But the cops didn't search my van, so I was able to make my delivery with no problem.
I am aware of all that,
the voice that had been addressed earlier as boss cut in.
Now please tell me why exactly you have kidnapped the girlfriend of a Tampa police detective.
Okay, I figured this big shot detective, the police department, whoever, would pay a pretty penny to get her back. I'm heading out to the cemetery right now. There's room to park in the equipment barn. I'm going to take her out there, tie her down to the four cargo rings in the floor, and rape her until I get tired of her. I'll call the cops and ask for, what do you think, $100,000? Then maybe I'll send her back to her war hero detective boyfriend in pieces. Maybe her head first. Or maybe I'll send that last. Of course, I'll bring you the money when I get it, and you can cut me in for a small commission, whatever amount you think is fair.
Here's what you are to do, Dave. Listen carefully, as I do not want to have to repeat myself. You are currently northbound on Interstate 275.
The voice stated a fact.
Proceed to the Hillsborough Avenue exit. Turn right at the light and go east toward Nebraska Avenue. Turn right, that's south, on Nebraska Avenue. Turn immediately right after that into the parking lot of a pharmacy there. Back into a parking spot directly behind a bus stop shelter, which is just west of Nebraska. You will be met there and instructed further. Do not get stopped by the police. Do not make any more mistakes, Dave. The men I am sending to meet you are not patient individuals.
The call abruptly disconnected.
On the way, boss,
the driver said to a dead phone with a lot less excitement. Terry soon felt the van decelerating. She heard the of the turn signal. The van stopped, then started again into a turn. One right turn was followed immediately by another. The van stopped suddenly. The transmission shifted into reverse. It moved back a few feet and stopped. A door in front opened. Suddenly, the van's rear doors were jerked open. A voice spoke, Onions again.
What's this one, you guys? She's a feisty little piece. She almost clawed my face off when I grabbed her.
We've got this, Dave. Another voice spoke, deep and gravelly. Get back in your van and take off.
All right, she heard Onions say. But let the boss know I did exactly what he said, okay?
Terry clearly heard fear in his voice.
I'll be sure, deep gravelly voice said.
Terry heard a metallic and her ankles were free.
Here, get her purse and her bag. She's still got her sweatshirt on. Good. Now let's help her over to the bench.